What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 8th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside independent contractor Janet Garcia.
What's up?
Not much. What's up with you? It's your first week of independence. How tired are you?
I'm exhausted, but I would be more exhausted if I went with the 82 ideas that I originally wanted to add to this project that I am so glad you and my family talked me down from, because I would not exist. Also, I think I underestimated how tired I'd be today after doing yesterday. I had my big 12-hour stream, like official launch celebration thing. I'm pretty tired today, and I'm like, and I still stream later today. And I'm like, damn, not doing that again. But I'm mostly just excited, though, honestly. It's definitely been a lot of work. I'm still figuring out, like, the day-to-day flow of things, how to, like, best optimize my time in a way that's both productive, but then also not, like, you know, you could work all the time if you, because there's, you know, there's no traditional hours, and I'm not, like,
you could, Kevin, up
to that. You could. Nothing's stopping you. Please don't. But
so,
yeah,
Janet, before we get any deeper in it, that's the thing we need to talk about. All right. You're here. You got the Kinda Funny spotlight on you. You're our first one. Thank you for coming through. What we're talking about is the fact that I recorded the final PS I Love You XOXO of the year on a Friday and introduced you as IGN's Janet Garcia. Then on Monday, you announced you were leaving. And then on Tuesday, we put up that episode of PS I Love You. I looked like a fool. I see people in the chat going, oh, you're not with IGN anymore. What's the update, Janet? Where are you at? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm no longer with IGN. I never really spent a lot of time, like, doing a big, you know, why I'm not at IGN, like, video breakdown or anything. You know, it just kind of became time to leave. And when that time came, I had to figure out, all right, what do I really want to do? And that's actually a question I've been asking myself, even, like, around last year. I spent that first year at IGN really just, like, I'm going to get going. Y'all know how it is when you start a new job. Like, let's see how the day-to-day is, like, what's going on, what I can add here, how, you know, getting used to the flow of things, finding your, like, place and your footing. And, I spent so much of my time on the lead-up to get to IGN. Like, that was the dream, like, get to IGN, get in the industry, get a full-time job. Like, that was my main focus. And I'm sure a lot of you listening out there who also are interested in games media might have a similar goal. And I think that's still a fine goal to have. But admittedly, I didn't have anything specific for it. That goal, I didn't have a dream role at a company. I didn't, you know, even when I sat down with my boss early on, like, what do you want to do here? What are some of your dream interviews or projects? Didn't really have anything. I just kind of wanted to be there. And while that doesn't sound inherently bad, it's kind of like, okay, you can't just be there though for, you got to figure something out and what you,
you
what
can't
are you
language,
really talking
right?
about. Yes, exactly. And especially someone like me, like, I am very goal oriented. I do want to, like, strive for, like, bigger things and stuff. And I was just kind of trying to figure out, what do I really want my place in this industry to be? And is it what I'm doing now? And the answer to that is kind of no, right? I don't see myself doing guides for the rest of my life. And I don't see myself doing a guide again, honestly. And then I was kind of thinking about do I want to go at another company? And, you know, having just left a company, I'm like, I just don't really want to do that kind of workflow. Like, I don't want it to be, here's, like, where we rank in SEO, and here's this thing. Yeah, and obviously there's other elements to that job too. Like, this is not me saying that, like, you know, IGN has so much creativity in what they're doing, and they're constantly launching new shows and all that. Like, I enjoyed so much of my time there, but some of those elements are things I didn't really want to have. So I'm like, well, I kind of just want to do my own thing. Like, you know, I keep describing, like, I want to vibe. I want to just play games, get really good at it, like, just build stuff, build connections, like, just spend a lot of time gaming. Cause, like, that's one thing I really missed with doing guides. Like, I did try my best to keep up with all these games, but that's really hard to do when you're deep into just, like, one of them. And granted, they were always, like, hit ones. So, you know, that's kind of my long-winded thing on how I decided the next move was just for me to be by myself and do my own thing. Life is long. I don't know, you know, if that's going to be completely forever, but that is what I want now. And when I wrote out what I wanted, and more importantly, what I didn't want, the conclusion was very obvious, which was a little unfortunate in the sense that being by yourself is really hard. Like, getting a job is not necessarily easier because it's still hard to get a job, but it's safe, right? You got health insurance, you got like a paycheck, the paycheck's always there every two, you know, everything else is so much more in flux when you're on your own. But I'm like, that is what I want to do though. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. You know, there's two for us that always come up when we talk about it. But, like, you know, when we did our first podcast with we did it right before we left, when everybody knew it, when it wasn't publicly leaving. And then when it published afterwards, was the Kevin Smith show. And during it, he gave us, you know, the wise words that remember, from this point on, everything that happened, you wanted this. You didn't need, you could have stayed in the cushy job. You could have had healthcare. You could have had a boss. And like the amount of times when shit is going south or there's something that happens here. And it's like that idea where I remember year one, I forget what it was, but something bad happened. And it was that thing of, I remember telling Tim, like, I just want Pear. Like, I just want to be able to turn to somebody else up the food chain to give the problem to. But like when it was just us, there was nowhere else for it to go. Like, yeah, damn. Exactly. Right. And you have to have that moment of like, all right, I got to suck this up and do it. Nick Northrip wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you came to be part of the show, and says, this is for Janet Garcia. I just want to applaud you. Your courage on stepping out and doubling down on your Twitch and starting your own podcast. People like you are an inspiration to me, and I just want to say thank you, and I am in your corner rooting for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much, and I've gotten so many like messages like that from people, so thank you. That's so needed, because like I mentioned, it is scary and difficult and challenging, but the support from this week has just been phenomenal.
Where can people support you?
You can support me at patreon.com/gameonesis, and you can find me everywhere on the internet under the handle Game Onesis. That's my YouTube channel, my Twitch, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, my website. Everything's Game Onesis. So yeah, that's where you can support me.
We'll have it linked, of course, on YouTube and probably in the podcast feed if that works. I forget. I don't know. I just put in the published information and rarely look at it. But I know it works on YouTube and you can do it there. Of course, Janet, now that you have a lot of free time, but your own time, I hope you're on Kind of Funny Games Daily quite a bit, because the spotlight isn't meant, like I said, for like people nobody knows or anything. It's meant to bring on just different voices. And you have a different voice that I appreciate quite a bit. So I'm glad you're still making content, and I'm glad you're making more of it. So congratulations again on week one.
Thanks.
But enough about that. Let's talk about the Hitman 3 previews being in, Twitch suspending Trump, Steam adding more next-gen controller support, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, you get your questions asked. You can get the show ad-free. You can, of course, get it afterwards with a post-show and all this cool stuff on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you have no bucks to toss our way, though, you can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, remember, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. Joey Noel has breaking news in Slack. The PS I Love You XOXO bomber jacket is back in stock. Get over to kindoffunny.com/store right now if you want to grab that. Also, remember, over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you can check out my start of my full Bloodborne playthrough. It's from the anniversary stream we did on a Monday. It's up right now. You can go check it out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by ExpressVPN, Honey, and Amazon Pharmacy. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 5 items on the Roper Report. Janet, let's start at the top here. Hitman 3 has been previewed. There are previews and hands on all over the internet right now, and people love it. What is your level of excitement for Hitman 3?
I'm pretty excited for it, mainly because it's the first big thing of the year. Sure. January is always so quiet because it's like the start of the year. Things are still getting together. Like the hottest games were like that one game no one really talked about and won't talk about again. So it's just nice to have like, this is the first thing. This is the one that people are going to forget when awards come out. Like that's always thrilling. But yeah, and Hitman's like, I think it's, you know, a fairly acclaimed series. So I'd be surprised if you didn't at least get a good game out of a new Hitman game. And based on these previews, it seems like that is going to be the case. So yeah, in my experience of Hitman, it's a bit minimal. I've only played like a little bit of one of them, but I like stealth a lot. I love the goofy things that can happen in Hitman. Yeah. It can be a fairly challenging game. So I'm excited for this to be my first full one because I've only dabbled in a few of the other ones. So yeah. I mean, who doesn't like having a big first game to start off the
right?
year?
Right, yeah. Personally, I have tried Hitman and Hitman 2, and I played the PS2 ones back in the day. I enjoyed what they did, but always fell out of them pretty quickly because I didn't like the repetition. But Games Beats, Jeffy Grubgrub, filed his hands-on report, and he makes me think I might be able to get into this one a bit more. He writes, Hitman 3 is the game I need right now. For the most part, it's still the same experience that developer IO Interactive delivered with Hitman and Hitman 2 in 2016 and 2018, respectively. But on top of the excellent new levels, it has a handful of smart new features. Most importantly, however, Hitman 3 strikes a balance between its guided authorial gameplay and its playful murder sandbox. Hitman 3 stages are now hiding a number of shortcuts you can unlock permanently for future runs. You usually do this by taking the difficult route into a secure location and then using something like a crowbar to unspool a ladder down to a lower level. You can now use this shortcut on any future attempt. This might not sound like a big deal, but it could encourage more players to engage with Hitman 3 as intended. The ideal way to play Hitman 3 is to play one stage over and over as many as 20 times. The ostensible reason for this, is to unlock challenges and feats or to play an escalation mission that puts a spin on the conditions and targets of the level. But those are just incentives IO uses to ensure players get to the core of the Hitman experience, which is building an intimate understanding of the machinations of a level. Shortcuts are an explicit invitation to players to imagine what their next playthrough might look like. So when you get done with your first run, you might decide to replay the same level because you already have an idea of what it looks like. And then Hitman does something funny. The more you play a Hitman stage, the more you want to keep playing it. Meanwhile, over at GameSpot, Phil Hornshaw wrote, "For its third game, Hitman 3 isn't changing the formula that made the first two so much fun. Each of its missions is like a huge clockwork-like contraption of various characters wandering here and there, which can be disrupted through often weird novel-killing methods. Since Hitman 3 allows you to pull in the missions from 2016's Hitman and 2018's Hitman 2, just like you could merge the first two games, the foundation is similar. But it does feel like IO Interactive is amping up the inventiveness of how, where, and why of its assassinations. Does that do it for you, Janet? Does this sound like something you want to get into?"
Oddly enough, kind of not. Only in the sense of, ooh, I'm not a big play it over and over again person. Yeah. So I feel like, as enticing as it might be, you can't entice me enough to keep replaying something over and over again if I don't really need to. Like, I'm a very critical path person, mostly because there's a lot of games out there, so I'm trying to get through a bunch of them. So I'm not sure if that will like be enough for me, but I'm still interested in trying it out because, again, this is like the first big thing coming out, and I think it should be at least fun. But I don't know if like, oh, the idea of playing it over and over again, like there's so many games that have that appeal, and I'm like, that's fine.
For me, the big thing is the shortcuts, because I do feel like it would keep me, okay, cool, I've done it one way, now I'm really encouraged to go this other way and not have to put up with the bullshit that I had to see before. Because before, that was the thing, where I'd get in, the mission would go wrong, I'd still kill the target, but yeah, would I want to replay it and do it again? I don't know, whatever. But we don't need to keep talking about this, because we haven't played it, we don't know what the fuck we're saying. Kind of Funny's own Blessing Adeoye Jr. did play it. Blessing, how are you today?
I'm doing good, how are you guys?
I'm good.
Good.
You, of course, a huge Hitman fan. Hitman 3 has been on the top of your most anticipated list for quite some time. You got to play the same preview build everybody else did. Go off, son.
Oh my god, I've been really enjoying Hitman 3. I've only played the first two levels because I've been trying to save it for when I actually get the PS5 version and be able to jump into that. But from those first two levels, Hitman 3 feels like it's taking in the learnings from Hitman 2 and 1. And I'm sorry that I sound like I just woke up right now, because
you sound great. I would have never known.
But yeah, Hitman 3 feels like it takes in a lot of the learnings from Hitman 1 and 2 in the way that it is very much an iteration. It doesn't feel like this brand new reinvention of Hitman in any sort of way, which is pretty much what I want, because Hitman 1 and 2 pretty much established, I think, what Hitman needs to be. Sure. But it does feel like it's taking in the learnings in the way that the small things that they've added, like the shortcuts that Jeff Grubb mentioned in his preview.
Jeffrey Grubb,
I apologize. And things like the camera, which is now a default item that you have on you that allows you to like complete missions in different ways, right? Where like you might have a character that you're after that asks you to be like, in order to get further along this quest line with me, I'm going to need you to take out this person and take a picture as proof, right? Like the camera allows you to do things like that, which I think makes those lines look a little bit more interesting, and so I like it for that. But yeah, like the first level, Dubai, is this great like grand scale, you're hopping onto the biggest building in Dubai exploring it and trying to take out like these two grand targets. And then level two, I don't know if you guys have seen this one floating around, is basically like this Knives Out clue like level,
okay,
where you're going into this mansion and somebody's basically hired a private investigator to figure out who's murdered this one person. And you take over that position as a private investigator and you're taking part of this murder mystery. And okay, both of those levels back to back, I feel like paint such a beautiful picture of what Hitman is and how excellent the level design is, because you have Dubai on one hand, which is this grand thing. You're walking into this building. You got the lighting painting this grand picture of what you're looking at, right? Like, looks beautiful. You're walking into these different rooms that are gigantic and like create this grand feeling of holy cow, like this place is huge. I get to explore this place. And then level two feels like this more intricate. You're getting this tailored story. You're getting this specific tale of who did it, like who's the murderer, and you're like talking to these different characters. I'm very much looking forward to this game. I'm very excited about it. I'm like, I cannot wait for people to get their hands on it and play it, because so far it's very good.
All right, like I said, like as somebody who never clicked with them to begin with, I am excited to try this one, and I am wondering if the shortcut stuff and the little additions and tweaks they've made will keep me around. But I am, yeah, the whole reason I didn't play one and two more, Janet, is because I'm just like you, where I was like, all right, cool, I accomplished the objective, I killed this guy, like I'm ready to move on, I don't like, care
that
how
was
I got
the
it.
Goal let's go, yeah. I would love to hear from you, and it might be maybe challenging to get in this headspace as someone that loves the franchise. What do you think this would look like for newcomers, like people coming in that who are more new to the franchise? Is the learning curve kind of easy to get into? Do you think it does a good job introducing these systems?
Yeah, no, I think it's an easy one to get into, because one, they're pulling in the levels from Hitman 1 and 2. And so if you're brand new, you can jump in from the beginning if you want to, and it doesn't really make a difference. But then also there's a tutorial there that you can start off with that'll give you the baseline of here's everything you need to know about playing Hitman. And then the levels themselves are just different ways to engage. And so, like, you don't even need to play the levels in order if you don't want to. There is a story there that you can engage with if you want to, but I don't really care about the story the way I play. And so, yeah, as a newcomer, I think it's very easy to get into. And then I'll also say that you guys mentioned that you guys aren't really into the idea of playing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I'll throw out there, I don't think you need to play that way. For me, most of the missions I've only played once. There are a handful of missions that I'll go back to over and over because I do really enjoy those levels. Paris in Hitman 1 I played a billion times. But there are other missions like Colorado, which I didn't like that level. And so I played it once and I was like, okay, cool. I'm done here. I don't need to come back to this. And missions are tailored in a way, especially with Hitman 2, they added in this, actually, it might have been in Hitman 1, I might be forgetting it. But there's basically a story mission mechanic where you can jump into a level, and if you're at the place where you do not like figuring things out and following people forever and trying to isolate different targets, there are different story missions within levels that basically lead you to where you need to go in order to kill somebody. And so there is basically different linear paths you can take to playing the game to where you can get in, do that, get out, and have a good time. And so I highly recommend, I think anybody could hop into Hitman 3 and have a good time. Oh. And yeah, again, like I can't wait for people to get their hands on it. Greg, we're going to play it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know how much you know this, cause I know you, I think legally and contractually can't talk to him, but Nick is a huge Hitman fan. So, I mean, I'm going to try it for sure, but I feel like there needs to be some blessing, Nick streams out there.
Oh, dude,
like
I'm totally down for that.
Okay, good. Well, blessing, go rest. You have a big day ahead of you.
I don't actually, I got nothing on the schedule.
Are you not on this group stream after this?
Am I?
I mean, it was just open to volunteers. I assume you would have volunteered because you like working. Really nice, you don't like working, I guess.
It's right, been a long week. I've been on content nonstop. I need a break.
Do you understand that Kevin's the only one who can make Twitch work now? All right, don't talk to him about a long week.
I mean, he chose his life.
I definitely didn't.
Thank you, Blessing. We'll talk to you later.
It was a conversation. I was like, this seems like a lot of work for me.
I mean, you got to figure out how to make it work for Barrett, too. You know, it's easy. Just tell him how to do it. Number two on the Roper Report, Twitch has suspended President Donald Trump. This is Nathan Grayson over at Kotaku. In the wake of yesterday, and this is obviously posted yesterday afternoon, in the wake of yesterday's violent conspiracy-fueled insurrection at the Capitol building, Twitch has elected to indefinitely suspend Donald Trump's Twitch account. In an email to Kotaku, a Twitch spokesperson explained the company's rationale. Quote, in light of yesterday's shocking attack on the Capitol, we've disabled President Trump's Twitch channel, the spokesperson wrote. Given the current extraordinary circumstances and the president's incendiary rhetoric, we believe this is a necessary step to protect our community and prevent Twitch from being used to incite further violence, end quote. For now, the suspension is indefinite. Quote, we are focused on minimizing harm leading up to the transition of government and will reassess his account after he leaves office, the spokesperson said. This follows a similar decision from Facebook, which earlier today banned the reality show host turned insurrection inciting U.S. president until at least the end of his term later this month. YouTube, meanwhile, has restricted Trump's account for a yet-to-be-determined period of time, as have Twitter and Snapchat. Twitch also took action yesterday, removing its popular PogChamp emote after the personality whom it is based on, Ryan Gutierrez, made statements encouraging civil unrest on behalf of the MAGA martyr who was shot and killed inside the Capitol building. This is not the first time Twitch has suspended the president's channel. In June of last year, the company shushed Trump's half-hearted, quote, how do you do, fellow kids, after his Twitch channel broadcasted a Tulsa rally in which Trump accused a hypothetical, very tough hombre of breaking into the window of a young woman whose husband was away to illustrate a larger point about what could happen if people didn't call 911 or couldn't call 911. At the time, Twitch said Trump had broken its rules around hateful conduct, also citing a now notorious 2016 rally in which he called Mexican immigrants rapists. Prior to that first suspension, Trump's unmoderated Twitch chat had transformed into a sounding board for his base's unhinged id, causing it to overflow with racism, sexism, and QAnon conspiracy theories during broadcasts of big events. While Twitch has never been as important to the spread of Trump's rhetoric as Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, this is nonetheless another instance of, quote, too little too late on the part of a company that could have previously pulled the plug on Trump whenever it wanted. Now, after 4 years of tumult and increasingly violent antics on the part of his conspiracy-addled supporters, he's an outgoing president with just a couple of weeks left in office. Companies are finally nipping at heels because it's no longer risky to do so. Amen, Nathan Grayson. Janet?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I tweeted about this quite a lot because, I mean, it was so much on everyone's minds what was going on in the country. And yeah, that was one of the things I had said. I'm like, please don't mistake anything that any of these companies are doing. Specifically, I called out Twitter, but it applies to everyone. I'm like, it is now the popular thing to do. It makes companies sure. look good for doing that. And we can say, oh, wow, like, look at them taking a stand. But the truth is, no, you only take a stand when it's convenient, when it's, you know, when you look at the numbers, like your numbers and what's more viable from a financial standpoint. So, yeah.
This is empty as all the Republicans yesterday, right? Who were like, no, this was out of line. And oh my God, he has gone to, like, you fucking enabled this. You made this happen. Fuck off.
It's just like wild how much people, how long people take to get to these things. It's just mind-bogglingly frustrating how it's like, oh wow, like Trump's bigoted, Trump's like a, you know, he's like a beacon of hate. He's been that the entire time. It was literally the entirety of his campaign. And it's like, one thing I said during, you know, leading up to Trump's election, like while he was running, because I was like very vocally against Trump, and anyone from Chicago who's like also a liberal, I guess, hates Trump, because Trump has always been, you know, he has this huge tower. It's like an ecological and eyesore nightmare. Like a lot of people in Chicago hated Trump long before he started running for office. And yeah, his entire campaign is very, very clearly on hate. And I'm like, look, some of y'all really need a history book to tell you when political leaders are evil. And that's really sad, because you should be able to have the critical, this doesn't even require critical thought. I mean, there's plenty of, you know, hate within companies and political campaigns, but this is so flagrant, like so, I mean, right, looking at that 2016 quote, and that's like one of like dozens and hundreds of quote. Like, Trump is not shy about his viewpoints on everyone and on everything. Like, one of Trump's scandals would have been enough to just derail anyone else's political career. He has like one every other day. It just blows my mind. But yes, this is obviously better than nothing. So yeah. And, you know, I saw a lot of people in chat saying, oh, I'm surprised like Trump even had a Twitch account. Like, most people have, you know, Twitch accounts just to, you know, broadcast, the things they already do live, like when they have like talks or speeches or events, like that just kind of goes live to everything. It's not like he's on there like, you know, squatting up for a game. Like,
he was big on that last WoW expansion that dropped. You know what I mean? He was right? there grinding it out.
But also, like, I would really love, you know, they meant he in this write up that Nathan did. It mentions, you know, one of Twitch's reasonings is when he did go live, like the chat was just very dark, and I think I would love to see that same energy for content creators that make their living off of dunking on people of color and white women and queer folks and all these other groups. Like, if your chat is mainly hateful, even if you're not saying anything wild, like that speaks to your community. And I think those accounts also need to have the same level of scrutiny. Yeah, that's something I would love to see carry over into the gaming space, because I think we let so much of that fly. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, like, I think companies end up putting themselves in a corner where they have these positions of, well, if I banned everyone who was bigoted, I wouldn't have like money anymore. That sounds like you built your company in a messed up way. If that is the case of your audience, you know, that speaks to a larger problem. It's like, well, if every, you know, and you see this all the time of people being like, wow, I tweeted like F Trump or I don't agree with Trump and I lost all these followers. That's embarrassing. If that's true, that means that you bad people follow
you. Well, I mean, it's we saw so many of our friends, you know, obviously in the midst of this week and everything that's happened, tweet stuff, and then I saw a lot of them, oh man, I lost 40 followers or whatever, good. Like, that's the thing, and you know what I mean, that's what we've talked about. I know I'm you know, beating a dead horse, I hope, for Kind of Funny, but that's what we said from day one and what we really drove home in 2020 to remind everybody. That is, like, if you're a fucking asshole, if you think you're better than somebody because of your race, gender, religion, creed, get the fuck out of here. I don't want your money, I don't want your Patreon, I don't want your Twitch file, I don't want your Amazon Prime, I don't want you to have anything to do with my company, I don't want you to watch our content and think that you're a Kind of Funny best friend if you can't just accept people as who they are and accept that we should help everyone get better. We should get equality is good. Being against equality means that you're happy with inequality and that you like being higher than other people. You like having advantages. You like having privileges other people have. You can't fucking look at the Capitol. You can't look at what happened on Wednesday, insurrection, sedition, and a bunch of fucking white people walking up there and nothing happening to them as they walked out and then went back to their hotels. You can't look at that and compare that to BLM and tell me there's not a huge fucking divide here and this is completely fucked and we need to do something. And so, yeah, it's about speaking out. It's about doing all this stuff. I saw, I think I got this right, but correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was Zombie, right, who put up a thing of like, what about like, this is when it was all happening, about making chats better. And then you made up a bot, right, on her advice that like goes through.
If you're not following Zombie Kills, you absolutely should be. I do think that to some people, it's like, oh, she's like too much or something. But like, I like that about her. That is also her brand. She's like, she describes herself as a Blacktivist, a Black activist in the gaming space. So she's very vocal about stuff all the time. Like, it doesn't have to be a big event happen. Like, she's always discussing these issues and comes up with a lot of really good ideas. One of them was like, hey, she specifically called out if you're a white streamer, but I think it applies to really everyone. Like, if you're really about it, like put a bot in your chat that says I'm for Black lives and see, you know, how many people say, oh man, like this is too political for me. Because here's the thing, you know, first of all, one, everything's political, and two, it's not about like, this isn't, you know, but also everything comes down to humanity, right? Like, it's, I don't care if you think if it's too political to be nice to people, then I don't know, I guess this isn't the place for you. But she had this idea of like putting that, so I wrote mine in the style of those like little cheesy signs that you see of like, in this house, we believe in science and that Black Lives Matter and those little things. They are a little cheese. And I thought this was a little cheese too, but I figured it has two great things, right? One is that, yes, it boots out people that are bigoted or lets those people expose themselves, because people that are hateful are dying to expose how hateful they are. And they do it all the time, but you'll just be talking about like random stuff and they'll just bring it up. So it does that, but it also reminds people that, hey, this is a space where you are welcome, because the reality is, at least with my streams, I'm not always talking about my political beliefs or my social beliefs on stream, because it doesn't always come up when I'm playing Animal Crossing. Like, sometimes it actually does, and I do address that, but right, I'm mainly there personally to game and hang out. But I want everyone coming in to know that. I never want anyone to mistake, much like what you've talked about a lot, Greg, and what your team has talked about, I don't want anyone to ever mistake that this is a place where you can get away with saying that kind of stuff, where that joke will fly, where that meme will like just get passed through. I want you to know that right away. And I think that's why a lot of people, I haven't experienced so far a lot of those issues within my own community that I'm slowly growing, because I'm like, yeah, if you join this Discord, I think you know this is like a, you know, a soft fuzzy place. You know, it's a nice invite. You know, I was talking to my Discord community yesterday, you know, or 2 days ago, especially with everything going on. And I'm like really like protective of my Discord, making sure like bad people don't get in there and try to like, you know, spam hate or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you know, let's get some more mods because nothing's happened so far, but like we need to be like Ewoks, right? Soft and cuddly, but ready to like,
you're ready to fucking throw down
if y'all are about to come in here with this nonsense. So yeah, anyway, that was something I did on her recommendation. I think she has so many great insights and recommendations for streams and how to make the gaming community better and all that. So if you don't follow Zombie, you should definitely give her a follow.
I want to do that.
I mentioned the PogChamp thing that we're going to talk about too.
Yeah, that's next. You talked about you know, like the cheesy sign or whatever. Have you amended it or have you stuck with that?
I've stuck with that so far. I liked it as something. I forget offhand what mine is. If I go to my Twitch, I could see it.
No, everybody knows what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah, I've loved it so far. I'm open to like it changing or modifying as time goes on. I'm also thinking of like other ways that I can be more inclusive in my stream. Like for instance, it doesn't mention anything about accessibility from a physical standpoint in there. Maybe that's something that we could add. So like, you know, I'm definitely open to amending it and making it what I feel like we need. But I'm going to kind of leave that also to in parts of my community of figuring out what kind of stuff we could do and how to make it better.
Yeah, I want to add something like that, but I think more in our line of messaging of obviously community for welcome and get it going through on whatever bot we use to have it pop up every so often, even at the command. And while we're here, there's something I've been meaning to do for a long time. So hold on. I want to do this. Hold on. That's done then, right? Yeah, okay. So I just added pronouns to my Twitter bio. And the reason there is that I'd gotten an email from a kind of funny best friend a while back that said, "Dear Greg," they put their name, "I'm a kind of funny best friend. One thing I love about Kind of Funny is the support you all have for marginalized groups. Now, I'm not a writer, so I'll keep it short. Could you please consider putting your pronouns in your social media bio?" An article by James Tinkler explains why it's important way better than I could, so I'll leave it for you to read. I don't know if this is the place where I should be asking this, but I just thought it was important and you'd see this and blah, 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 blah. I love the recent support of minorities by denouncing Trump supporters and would love to see more inclusion in the future. You can go read this entire Medium post that I had linked to me from James Tinkler. You can go to kindoffunny.com/pronouns. I want to read this paragraph from it, though. "It's helpful for cisgender people from both within the LGBTQ plus community and outside of it to include their pronouns in their bio, as it creates a safer environment for trans people. It opens a safe space to talk about pronouns, and it also lets those of us who use different pronouns to share ours without being the odd one out. When cisgender people share their pronouns, whether it be in an online bio or on a name tag or shared face-to-face during introductions, it helps normalize the act of sharing one's pronouns in all settings, not just LGBTQ plus ones. This helps us not only normalize sharing and asking about pronouns, but it also helps to normalize the larger trans community and its umbrella communities. Everyone should be able to feel comfortable with their pronouns and have their pronouns respected by others." That last sentence stood out to me, and it pairs up really well with Elaine Gomez from Latinx Gaming, who is on Kind of Funny Games Daily during Hispanic Heritage Week with me a while back now, right before PlayStation 5 and everything's dropped. And she had talked about, I'd asked her, because we had done, you know, Latinx and Gaming as a Kind of Funny podcast, and so many of the comments in there were like, "Ugh, this is a made-up term, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah." And it, of course, wasn't people I would consider Kind of Funny best friends, just people who are surfing hashtags and want to come in on YouTube and be jerks. And when I asked her about that, she, you know, rolled her eyes and was like, "No, it is a real term, and it does have, you know, this heritage in language and all this other stuff." But one of the things she said was this really interesting story that, where when they did change it, because it used to be Latinos in gaming, I think, and then it became Latinx to not have a gender attached to it. When she changed it, somebody came in the Twitch chat and she was like, "You know, it's, you know, less than 1% that this applies to that, but we're changing our name for it." And somebody in her chat was like, "You're going to tell me that for less than 1% of your audience, you're willing to change your entire name, your entire branding and all this stuff?" And she said, "Yes. Like, this is our whole shtick is being inclusive. Our whole thing is that we want to make sure people from all walks under this umbrella feel like they're invited here." And her saying that, teamed up with this email from a kind of funny best friend, teamed up with this paragraph in it, really resonated with me of like, oh, sure. Like, I think, you know, I talk so much about like, I think, you know, before 2020, and I would like to think I was walking the walk and being Superman and trying to lead by example and everything else. But it was this thing of like, they know more than me. They should say something more than me. I don't want to be involved. Like, there's so many different ways to show support. And so right now, if there's one kind of funny best friend out there, and I know there's far more than one, but if there's one kind of funny best friend out there who sees six characters on my Twitter bio and feels like that moved the needle for them to make them not feel like an outcast, then there you go. That's what we should all do.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the ways I like to like bring this back for people, because there's so many different issues in which these kind of things come up, where it's like, well, you know, who's offended or who feels included or who is this for and all those things. For me, I always boil it back down to what will do the least harm / the most good. So if something like, you know, with the pronoun thing, for instance, as someone that's like, especially someone that's cisgender, like, does it hurt me for you to have your pronouns in your bio? No, like it should, I mean, it shouldn't, right? Like, unless I have some deeper bigotry, that could be a different problem, right? So, okay, well, it's neutral to me, right? Maybe like, I'm like, whatever, it doesn't affect me. If it doesn't affect me, why not go with it? Because it is a plus, it's a gain for some people to see that. So if it's ultimately either a zero or a plus one, it sounds like that's the move to make. And that's kind of how I boil it down for people who have that uncertainty. It's like, what, you know, and that comes down to a lot of things. Like, well, some of my friends they're okay with me using this terminology, but other people in the community aren't. Okay, well, if some people are okay and others are offended, maybe just go with not using it, because that would be the, like, I don't think anyone's gonna miss you using whatever term that is offensive to some people, or whatever thing is bothering some people. So why not just remove it? Are you really losing anything? And the truth is no. So it's like, hey, like, that's kind of what I sort of boil it down to. But yeah, I'm so excited for you to have those in your bio as well. It's hilarious, because some people, there are obviously dark corners of the internet of hateful people who will be like, oh, of course, you know, you got your pronouns in your bio. And I always think that's a hilarious insult, because what you're really saying, if we just do a little replace, is, oh, of course you're out here trying to include other people. And I'm like, is that your shade? Like, being a decent person?
You care about people really know these strangers. You care about them.
Giving a fuck. It's like, really? Like, you're messed up, dog. Like, you got some problems. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think there's always new ways that we can work on including people. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to do the pronoun flare in like my Discord channel for the same reason. So yeah, there's always more work to be done, for sure.
Whenever, like, and it's rare, and I don't engage, like, you know what I mean? Years of being on the internet, I've learned a long time ago not to engage with trolls. But nowadays, when if it is somebody who I don't think is trying to troll, they are just an asshole, and they try to clap back on me for something I feel is like the right thing to do, I just send them the link on Google to the definition of empathy and then mute them. Because it's like, if you don't understand what I'm trying to do here, I'm just trying to empathize with someone. I'm trying to make someone else's life better. And I don't understand, by me trying to make somebody else's life better, how that, especially the things I'm doing, makes your life worse. Like, that's fucked up, and you got to look in the mirror. I digress. Let's get back to the news. One other good piece. Let's get up. We're going to do good news, then we're going to do ads, then we'll come back to some bad news, and then we'll just get out. We'll get into the rest of the show. Number three, we officially have a new Pog champ, kind of. As we just talked about in the story before this, right? Gutek sucks, so they want to get rid of that guy's Pog champ emote in Twitch. So when all this is happening, Sean Plott, Day 9, tweeted, yo, at Twitch, suggestion for Pog champ. Create a database of streamers and or general faces. Whenever someone types Pog champ, display one of the faces at random. Would give a really nice crowd feel to a chat spamming Pog champ, and allow the meaning to be tied to all of us instead. Twitch then quote tweeted it today and responded, you know what? In the spirit of figuring out 2021 together, let's just roll with it for now. Get ready for a new Pog champ every 24 hours starting today. As you see it going on right now, there is a new Pog champ in there. Some people are starting to spam Nick and Andy. Those aren't the Pog champs. But there is a new Pog champ in there. I'm not familiar with who this is, but I see it happening. Congratulations, new Pog champ for the day. Another good move, right? Of like, all right, cool. Let's just figure this out. And I said, because after, obviously, we had a milkshake duck situation on our hands, there were a bunch of people that were like, all right, cool. Do we want to commit to another real human being face? Because, of course, humans are fallible and everyone will make mistakes. And hopefully not as bad as being a fucking racist and siding with a bunch of goddamn, you know, fucking insurrection people.
Know.
But like,
you
whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, how bad it's going to be. And I think this is, at least for now, it's a cool way to get on with this and respond to it and have something going.
Yeah, and I'm so glad they reacted to this like fairly immediately. One thing I tweeted about that got a lot of flack from certain corners of the internet that have notifications on for something. I don't know what they're on a whole nother thing. I'm like, how y'all appear so fast? I know y'all in the same Discord or what's up, but you have the same crew that you raid with or something. I don't know. But one thing I mentioned with this is like, it could, if without removing it, it could so easily become something people use as like a Trump thing. Like so much of like stuff associated with Trump is like for hate because he runs a campaign of hate. So it's like literally, you know, it's to the point where if you do something and people disagree, like, you know, you're saying something about equality, people will be like, ah, Trump 2020. And you knew what that meant. That meant they meant like, you know, F your equality, basically. Totally. And same deal with this emote. Even though some people would probably use it innocuously, some people probably wouldn't know about the meaning tied to it. So it's best to just kind of remove that as a possibility rather than just let it kind of linger. And then, like, do I have to wonder that if this person's using this, that they're actually, like, you know, a bigot? Like, I don't want to have to ask myself that question or my community. So, yeah, this is awesome.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now let's all take a breath. Remember, of course, you can get this show. You can be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, of course, you can be part of the show. You can get the show at the post show we do each every day. And you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by ExpressVPN. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data on to other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing our internet activity, Kinda Funny protects itself with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see any of your activity. Just think about how much your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, or message you send gets tracked by ISPs or other tech giants who can then sell your information for profit. That's the reason Kinda Funny recommends ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. Just download the app, tap one button on your device, and you're protected. And ExpressVPN does all of this without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell your information. Protect yourself with the VPN Kinda Funny trusts to keep our information private. Go to expressvpn.com/games. That's ExpressVPN.com/games to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/games right now to learn more. Next up is Honey. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where today's sponsored Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically tests them when you're checking out. Here's how it works. You get Honey on your computer for free in 2 easy clicks. Then, when you're checking out on one of its more than 30,000 supported sites, Honey pops up and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds and Honey searches for coupons on that site. If Honey finds the working codes, it applies the best one to your cart. This is where I tell you, as you already know, I use Honey each and every day. It's right there. It's a little cursive H on my Google Chrome browser. I love it very much. And what they don't say in here that I urge you is I log in with my Google profile. And then what it does is it accrues my coins. I accrue Honey coins and then I can cash them in on Amazon and I get Amazon gift cards. And it's very, very cool. Honey has found over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Honey supports all kinds of retailers, from tech giants and gaming sites to fashion brands and even food delivery. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free and it works with whatever browser you use. You can get Honey for free today at joinhoney.com/games. Joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games so they know we sent you. Thanks, Honey, for supporting today's episode. And finally, it's Amazon Pharmacy. Chances are you use Amazon, but have you used Amazon Pharmacy yet? That's right. Prescriptions delivered to your door by Amazon, just like the TP and Funko Pops you're already probably ordering. It saves you time and keeps you out of the waiting line in the pharmacy. It's easy. Have your doctor's office send your next prescription straight to Amazon Pharmacy. You can use your insurance. Amazon Pharmacy works with most insurance plans nationwide. Amazon Prime members get free 2-day delivery and save on prescription medication when paying without insurance. Tim needed some medication over the holiday break. He used Amazon Pharmacy and he said it was easy as hell. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free 2-day delivery. Learn more at amazon.com/gamesrx. That's amazon.com/games with an X, RX. I say with an X? games with an SRX. Amazon.com/gamesrx. Number four, a sad one. A prolific voice actor has passed away. I'm reading from IGN's report. Kevin, I for some reason didn't jot down who wrote this one. Oh, no, I know. Joe Scrabbles. That's right. Joe Scrabbles wrote this at IGN. Brand.
Made-up
name? All right. What was that?
I said a made-up name.
No, we don't do that anymore. No, we don't do that anymore. I don't want to do that to him anymore. Joe Scrabbles is a real person, everybody. It's official. He's a real boy. Anyways, though, Joe writes, Brad Venable, who provided his voice acting talents to Devil May Cry 5, Final Fantasy VII Remake, multiple anime series, and more, has died at age 43. Multiple members of the voice acting community have today posted tributes to Venable, having been given permission to share the news by Venable's wife. No cause of death has been announced at time of publish. Among many other parts, Venable played V's familiar Griffin in Devil May Cry 5, as well as playing roles in Call of Duty Black Ops Cold Wars, the recent Demon's Souls remake, and Final Fantasy VII remake. He also played Daz in the English dub of Attack on Titan and played roles in My Hero Academia, Hunter x Hunter, and Dragon Ball Super. Of course, thoughts and prayers to his family. That's horrible. And to everybody else. I saw last night, Janet, a whole bunch of voice actors putting up candles. I think they were waiting to see if it was, they wanted, you know, obviously the family have time, but last night for sure, the voice acting community was hurting over this. So, you know, thoughts to everybody out there.
Yeah. I think no matter how big an industry it is, it always ends up feeling small, once you get into it. So I'm sure this was, it's always sad to lose a peer and a friend. So definitely my heart goes out to all the people who are mourning.
And then your final story of the week, Steam is adding more Xbox and DualSense controller features. This is by Alessandro Barbosa at GameSpot. Steam developer Valve has begun rolling out additional support for Xbox and PlayStation controllers, giving you more customization options for input mapping. The biggest change makes the Xbox One Elite Series 2 more useful when played with games via Steam, with the rear paddle buttons now available for mapping. Valve has also added support for the new revision of Xbox controllers that include the share button, which can now be mapped for any function in game. Both controllers will also benefit from added support for rumble triggers, which can now be used on supported titles. Additionally, four Xbox controllers can now be recognized at once for local multiplayer titles. The update does less for the PlayStation 5 DualSense controller. The update allows you to toggle the controller's LED, choosing between a static on and off or dynamic mode that only activates the LEDs if more than one controller is connected at a time. It's not as extensive as the Xbox support, but it does show that Valve is still working with the DualSense on some level. Perhaps support for its unique haptic triggers might come. The update is only out on Steam's beta client for now, but should be incorporated into the release client soon. If you are using the beta, Valve recommends manually updating the controller driver and restarting your PC if you're having trouble with functionality. There you go.
Everyone dorks. Knows that you know, you and I are some of the biggest PC gamers out there.
Oh,
so
my God.
Obviously this is you know, more ways to enjoy that PC gaming life.
I'm looking for that little joke, Kevin. By the way.
In case anyone doesn't know. But yeah, we're like a few years from next gen really being here, you know. It is funny seeing these things kind of slow roll out. But yeah, more controllers in more places is useful.
Kevin, did I ever give you that little thing that plugs into the computer and does more stuff? Remember how I had it sitting around on my desk forever?
I don't think I did.
Are you being serious or?
Yeah, remember that? It's a thing. It's RAM, maybe. It's something. You plug it in. I had it just sitting here forever, and I was like, it was in the sun. I was like, that's not good, so I put it away.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Whatever.
Are you talking about
when the pre-build's too fancy for you to really do yourself? I'm like, I know they already made it, but like, how do I take the plastic out of the case without breaking it? I'm like, someone else want to do this for me? Because I just...
I'm always like, Kevin, just make it go. Wait, just make it do its thing.
Yeah, are you talking make about it do its thing. An M.2 storage? Like a...
No, what?
You could say literally anything right now. And
he knows what that is.
I mean, yeah, I know because I need it for PlayStation, right?
Right.
We're waiting on them.
Do you have one of those lying around?
No, remember, maybe, I don't know. I remember it's the one Tim wanted, and then I was like, I'll get it for you, and then nobody ever came to pick it up, and then
it's
I was just sitting around here for
the one Tim wanted. I hate you.
It was the one Tim wanted it so bad.
It's so easy for you to, like, know what you're talking about. Like, you're not me.
I had a FireCuda 510 sitting around here somewhere.
A FireCuda 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, Janet, I can't wait to see what happens next with PC gaming, but the future is so far away.
I got my finger on the pulse.
You're right
go.
There.
That's
I know.
I know.
If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You can go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Iris Fall is on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Super Moose is on Switch. Arnold is on PC. And Maniac Path 2 is on PC. New dates for you. Path of Exile, Echoes of the Atlantis. No, Atlas, damn it. Launches on PC January 15th, Xbox and PlayStation January 20th. And then Call of Duty Cold War mid-season update is coming from Treyarch, they write. Mid-season update begins January 14th. Next week, Season 1 will get even bigger with new content and multiplayer and zombies. Get ready to drop into a massive new Fireteam map with your squad in Sanatorium, and fight for control of the nuclear codes in the all-new 6v6 multiplayer mode Dropkick. In Zombies, we're turning up the intensity to 11 in the new Cranked mode, where every zombie killed resets the timer, counting down to your demise. And in Onslaught, Raid joins the map list, along with new Dark Aether intel for zombie fans on PlayStation. This mid-season update arrives January 14th, with more Season 1 content to come.
Yeah, it's definitely
Call of Duty, do anything for you, Janet? You playing that at all?
No, not really, but actually, no, the answer is no. But I will say I played Call of Duty. I'm like, let's not lie. You know, I was like, oh, well, not. No, the answer is no.
Yeah, I might give a chance. I
downloaded it once. No, the answer is no. However, I did actually play, I think for the first time in my life was this year playing Call of Duty. I just out of curiosity, you know, I played with my boyfriend and some bots because I like literally I don't do shooters. I don't do the shooty shoots. That's the main reason I've never played Call of Duty. I'm also not a big fan of guns and not a big fan of the military. So as you can see, it's starting to look not the cards are stacked against Call of Duty.
Less and less likely you're going to pick this one up.
But I played on PS5 and I will say like, it felt like really cool with the DualSense, like the way the guns feel, like that was pretty dope. And yeah, like I thought like the, this is like such a non shooter perspective, but I'm like, oh, these environments look really nice. Like I'm just walking around sofas and stuff, you know, these destructible environments and all that. So I did gain a little bit of an appreciation for stuff. It's funny too, because like, again, not a shooter person. So like my aim is really bad. Like my knowledge is like really like not there, but there is something really satisfying about getting a kill. I will say, I especially don't play a lot of games that have like combative natures to them. Like, you know, Splatoon 2, you don't really kill anybody. They just kind of evaporate. It's like very fuzzy, but I'm like, oh yeah, I got him. And it's like, so it does feel good. I'm like, okay, I can see why you're over there on this screaming with your friends for a few hours.
Sure.
Every few nights. I can see the appeal there, but yeah, I haven't uninstalled it because I, with classic gaming situation, I want to think that I will come back. But I know that's not true. I'm just waiting to need the storage. But it's still there. It's still
this was the first year. And I, you know, I do, obviously more power to you if you love Call of Duty. I'm not talking shit about it as a franchise. It just doesn't do it for me. And this was the first year where I didn't even entertain it. Because every year I look at it or I do the Judges Week demo or they announce some movie star. And then I'm like, man, maybe this will be it. But then I also remember that I don't like action movies. So like I install it and really? I start playing. I'm like, I'm bored already. I don't know. Yeah. No, whenever we do in review and yeah, like I'm recapping it, I can tell you everything. And then when the action starts, I'm like, and then he does this, I think. And he kicks him. I don't know.
Wait, but like, you also you don't like Uncharted or you did like Uncharted?
Oh, I love Uncharted. I love Uncharted. But I feel that's more of like a pulp fiction. That's more of a pulp action, right? Like I'm talking about like a shooter war movie kind of thing.
Right, okay. Pulp fiction
game, yeah. Yeah, like I feel like when it's all about like just like Zero Dark 30 and shit like that, I would never go see. I would never, you know, or American Sniper. Like I'm just like, I'm not about, I don't care. This isn't my kind of shit. And I guess American Sniper is actually pretty cerebral and not an action movie. But still, just content wise, it's like I'm good. I don't really do it, you know. For me, Commando. That was it. That was where, you know, I was like, this is it. This is a perfect action movie. I don't need to watch another one. But Janet, while I want to go back to my from my stupid comments to where you were talking. For people who don't know you, what do you play? How do you describe yourself?
Yeah. I play a lot of indie games, a lot of cute games. For traditional stuff, platformers, action adventure games, and visual novels, I would say, is my main suite of games. So that honestly covers most of like the major ones, honestly, because yeah, sure, Call of Duty is a hugely popular game, but that's like one kind of fringe subgenre thing, like of like you either play shooters or you kind of don't, and that's sort of it. So yeah, that's what I would say my wheelhouse is. Someone's chat said 13 Sentinels. I have not played 13 Sentinels. I will occasionally do some RPGs.
Are you going to play 13 Sentinels? Because that's getting kicked around right now where we all want to play or should play it. Or
I mean, I have it. This is another one that I think is installed, right?
Oh, it's installed on mine for sure, yeah.
It's just, you know, maybe with the slow start to the year, I can justify it. But I'm also, like, right now my focus is honestly on, like, what are these 2021 games? And let's make sure that I play all of those.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about 13 Sentinels. But I try to play basically most of the major releases just for, you know, the field and having an opinion on them. But yeah, on my leisure time, like if I'm just playing for fun, yeah, it's platformers, action, adventure, adventure, story-driven stuff. Some puzzles as well. And a lot of indie games. So, yeah.
Shout out to everyone in the chat pointing out that Zero Dark Thirty is not an action movie either. I don't care about war stuff. Is that how we want to say it? I just don't care about war stuff. And like, you know, they're doing John Wick in review and I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go see that. I haven't seen the John Wick. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Interpret that however you want to. But if you're going to try to push it onto Uncharted, Janet, get out of here. All right, Elena, that's not an action movie. All right, that's a narrative adventure.
Then what was with that train thing going on?
Moving on. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffun. Well, action video. First person shooters, I don't like. Shooters in general, I don't like, right? Third person, I'm playing an action movie or something, and it's like I'm playing a blockbuster movie. I feel like, you know, we're into the weeds here on what I feel like I like and don't like. It's how I don't like space, except for like these 15 exceptions for games. Doesn't matter. Squadding up. This is where you write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, the Portland Kevin wrote in. Not you, Kevin. The Portland Kevin wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It says, squad up and deal of the day. Hi, Greg and Janet. I have combined squad up and deal of the day. Even if I don't get to squad up, I hope you still read this and let people know. Shadow of the Tomb Raider on PlayStation 4 is free with PlayStation Plus this month, but the full DLC pass is also on sale on the North American store for $6. It includes a bunch of new costumes, side quests, and best of all, tombs to raid, (7 in total. I re-downloaded the game and bought the pass a few days ago, and I can say the extra tombs are really cool and fun. However, it's easy to see that the ones I've completed already are created with co-op in mind. I want to squad up with any kind of funny best friends out there who want to raid the extra tombs in score attack and time attack modes for high scores, fast times, and those sweet, sweet extra DLC trophies. The Portland Kevin's PSN name is Toaster Bunny, all one word, Toaster Bunny. I hope any of the best friends interested in Shadow of the Tomb Raider add this cheap upgrade to the game. Thanks for everything you do, and I hope any best friends in the DC area are safe. The Portland Kevin. If you want to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider with Toaster Bunny, go ahead, hit him up.
Great username.
It is a great name. I like that one a lot. And I like that you wrote in as the Portland Kevin. That's a good name as well. Time for You're Wrong. Of course, people can watch this show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we encourage you to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. And we have a perfect game today, Janet. Nothing. There's nothing in here.
Boom.
Because we were just talking about how...
no mistakes in 2021, maybe. Yeah, actually, yeah. I don't know what the other episodes were like.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't watch him either because Blessing, you know, who cares? You know what I mean? He's gotten too big for his britches and somebody's got to take him down a notch. And I guess it's got to be me.
Yeah,
I didn't want
it
to be, but I have to be.
You're doing it. Also, don't look at solid state drive, you know.
I want to find it. I'll dig it out during the post show with you, okay? All right, don't worry about it. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Let's look ahead at next week to see who's going to be on the show. Monday, it's Blessing and Imran. Tuesday, it's Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim Geddes. And Friday the 15th, I don't know why I wanted to date it so much, is going to be me and Carolyn Pettit. That's right. Kind of funny spotlight on Carolyn. Of course, you know her. I talked about a lot about her Cyberpunk review for Polygon and how great it was. She will be here to talk to me and hang out and do the news you care about with us. It should be a lot of fun. Janet, where can everybody keep up with you?
Again, you can follow me on Twitter at @GameOnesis, and that handle also works for Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, my website, and my newly launched Patreon and Twitch as well. So, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this, of course, has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Like I said, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now to get the post show we're about to do. Of course, if you're on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames watching live, don't go anywhere. You know, I know, the American people know it, that you get 2 hours of streaming with Snowbike Mike and company each and every day, usually three because you hit all the sub goals you need to. Today is a giant old Kind of Funny hangout. It's like party mode, but don't tell Tim or I'll cancel it. But it's just all of us playing multiplayer games together. We're going to have a great time. Of course, you can catch that later rate on a number of different things and yada yada yada. You know the rigmarole. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. In short though, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for an amazing start to 2021 for Kind of Funny. I know it's been a rough week here in America, but you guys rang in our 6th anniversary, and I think having you to talk to and play games with throughout a tumultuous week has really helped me in my own mental sanity. So thank you so much for that. Here's to a year that hopefully can only get better. And again, Janet, congratulations to you on breaking off on your own. I hope you'll come back more.
Absolutely. I'd love to be back.
All right. Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we have a post show to do. It's been our pleasure to serve you.